are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with me on the phone calling in is Matt Halala, candidate for governor. Matt, how you doing?
Good morning, David. Thanks for having me again. This is tremendous. I think that this might be my fourth visit with you and the Fairbanksan community.
Well, you were up here for the last couple of days, and I wasn't on the air. I wasn't able to get you on, so I thought, what the heck? Make you fly back to Anchorage and then call you up and put you on the air. How
exactly.
How do you like Fairbanks when you get up here?
You know, I love it. It's like I said, being, you know, coming from the Kenai Peninsula, Soldotna, as a kid, Fairbanks was that faraway place where they had hot summers, and it was about an 8-hour drive, and we did state track and field tournaments up there. But it's a very cohesive community. It's something a little different. You know, I think it's very unique. Actually, this morning, I was getting coffee at a Kaladi's. And a guy was saying, hey, I really want to experience Alaska in the winter. And I said, you know what? I think you'd enjoy Fairbanks. Very cool community. It's got one downtown. It's got a deep, long, multi-generational history. And you'll enjoy the extremes of winter. So he was very intrigued by that. That was just this morning. So I love Fairbanks.
So what were some of the things you did while you're up here for the 2 days?
Well, you know, the week before, it was fisheries week for me. I went down to Dutch Harbor on Alaska, talking about the fisheries, the importance of the fisheries.
Which you know very well.
Yeah, that's part of my history, commercial fishing, sport and commercial fishing. And so this week was mining week for me. And so we zipped up earlier in the week, and I got to take part in that, I guess, one opportunity bus tour to Mancho, that mine out there, with about, I think there was about 25 of us on that bus.
Okay.
And that was fabulous. And then attended some of the events there at the Carlson Center for the Alaska Miners Association. And then I had to zip back to Anchorage to vote because I never got my mail-in ballots, which is a whole other topic. Not thrilled about the mail-in ballot thing. And then zipped right back up there to partake in the different events associated with the AMA convention.
You know, I've done two remote live shows, and both of them have been at the Carlson Center at the Alaska Mining Association meeting.
Yeah, I mean, it was well attended. I think there were 600 people there, and I met some tremendous legends in the field, like even Roger Burgraff.
Oh, yeah.
Met him yesterday. He gave me a signed copy of his book, which was awesome. And he made some statements, some very, very poignant statements about Alaska, its past and its future. And I asked him if I could use one of his phrases because I was so impressed. He said this. He goes, if you don't have an economy, you don't have a community.
Very true. You know, it's interesting. Yep. The mining in Fairbanks, it's how we started. We're still here, and it looks like, you know, it might get a lot bigger. You know, we're opening up, hopefully, the Ambler Mining District. But also here locally, you have the Esther area, and, you know, I'm a very, you know, part Republican, part libertarian. And my thought is, you have property rights, and don't ever, as a real estate broker, you have property rights and never infringe on someone else's property. And yet, you know, Estra is a mining area, and so they're looking at a very, very large-scale mine that's been platted. It's been, you know, known about, and they're looking at developing it. And at the same time, another guy's looking at developing a 2,000-acre parcel of land for, you know, an incredible lodge. And so first they're against the mine. Now they're against Esther, you know, Esther's against this. Right. And I say to myself, you can't infringe on someone's property rights.
No. And, you know, it is so important. We've reached a bit of a crisis level in Alaska where we're losing our young people, right? They're not finding the same opportunity that we found when we were 18, 25. And that we have to reconcile that with our desire to be NIMBYs, you know, not in my backyard type deal.
Exactly.
And always ask the question, what's in the best interest of the next generation? Because, you know, that's our responsibility. Like Roger said, you know, you don't have an economy, you don't have a community. Well, if you don't have a community, you don't have the next generation coming up behind you. That's a failure. That is a collapse of our social contract and our responsibility to young people. So mining, like the fisheries for Southwest and, you know, the coastal communities and things, mining is so critical. It's the backbone of that mission to our next generation. And it's so much fun, too, because, you know, it seems in the last 30, 40 years, there's been a lot of criticism of, you know, it's pillaging the land and it's ugly and it's not clean and all these things. Well, technology, as we advance forward, is making things so much cleaner. They're getting so much more innovative in how to do the dirty part, which is the processing, right, of the ore. And that's what Mancho, their kind of niches is that they are trucking their ore up to Fort Knox because they've already got the processing infrastructure there, which is the complicated part of permitting, and they're maximizing the use of that centralized processing of the ore. So the hope is that's going to be capitalized on in an innovation where you can have maybe these processing centers around the state and multiple feeders, smaller mines, can co-op with them. And, you know, these are innovations that apparently were not really thought of 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
No.
Every mine seemed to think they had to do their own processing. So,
you know, it's interesting. Down in the Anchorage area of the West Susitna Road project, you know,
that's a big deal. Not just a mining district for minerals, but also for energy.
Yeah.
The West Susitna coal deposit, that's a huge deal. And we've got, you know, world-renowned coal in Alaska. That's very clean, low sulfur content, et cetera. And there you go. That answers the question of cheap, abundant energy, too. So, we got to take advantage of all these things and push forward. Start saying yes.
Exactly. Hey, okay if we take a commercial break?
Oh, yeah.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. I have Matt Halala, candidate for governor, on the phone. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Jeep's Declaration of Deals event. 0% APR on select models and no payments for 90 days. Dodge Durango GT, Jeep Gladiator, Wrangler, or Grand Cherokee. 0% and no payments for 90 days. America's best-selling minivan, Chrysler Pacifica, Ram 1500, 2500, and 3500. 0% and no payments for 90 days.
Select models only on approved credit. Not all offers can be combined. See dealer for details.
Jeep's, the official dealership of Life in Alaska.
Living in Alaska is a dream come true. With plenty of stuff to do all summer long, the downside? It's loud. Boating, dirt bikes, ATVs, and sports shooting all can take a toll on your hearing. That's where Fairbanks Hearing and Balance comes in. They have a full selection of hearing protection for your lifestyle. From non-custom electronic plugs to custom molded waterproof plugs, all the way up to the full custom molded electronic masterpieces. To find out more, get a test with Dr. Jackson at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center today, or find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR. Weather.
Rain likely this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 41. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance for rain mixing with and changing to snow. Tonight, lows dip down to about 26. Cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow tonight through Sunday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Matt Halala on the phone with me. How you doing, sir?
Wonderful, David.
You know, when you were at the Laundry House Gang and I saw you there, you know, I brought up, there was many things I could have brought up why I like you as a gubernatorial candidate, but one of the things that I said was, you're a clean slate. And the reason I think that is because I look at our governor right now, and it doesn't matter what he tries to do to advance in his vision Alaska, he's going to have people in the legislature that he used to work with purposely trying to stop him, like a Senator Kathy Geisel, on the taxation program she wants to impose upon the gas line if it is built. I just look at that and I say to myself, no matter what he does, like President Trump, if he cured cancer, if Governor Dunleavy got the gas line deal done, she would oppose it because he did it, and you do not bring that.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. I mean, it seems to be, you know, we all seem to think it's a phenomenon of the modern era. Politics has always been so divisive, and it's a real shame. And of course, we talk about Trump derangement syndrome, right? It just doesn't matter. Like you said, he could cure cancer, and you know, he brings on a lot of it on himself. He's very bombastic and gets out there and says some things, and it's almost like with Governor Dunleavy, that there's a, you know, Dunleavy derangement syndrome at this point with some people. Where
in the legislature, that's for sure.
DDS, right? And that's a shame. And you do. I'm not going to lay blame on anybody. I've always been a supporter of Governor Dunleavy's, and you know, I don't agree with exactly everything. You know,
you're not going to agree with exactly everything anyway. So he's put it aside.
Exactly. Yep. And my approach, and you know, in business, you're tested in that boardroom where you've got very stubborn, bullheaded people that are the smartest people. Everybody's the smartest person in the room, but you have to align enough people to accomplish something and get a deal done, move forward, and for the best interest of the stakeholders, the company, the shareholders, and you know, in the legislature with the governor, it's the same mission. You have to create and maintain relationships so that they're at least functional. And you
yes.
don't have to be like best buddies with people, but you do have to be able to communicate and to be heard and listen. So that's that whole communication piece, and it does require being present. You do have to be with people. It can't just be by memo. You know, you don't unify people by memo or email or whatever. The one thing I keep hearing from Democrat and Republican down there in Juneau is they want a governor, and this is not a criticism of what's going on right now necessarily, but they want a governor that they can, you know, communicate with on a regular basis, have a good feedback loop of what the agenda should be, where everybody's responsibility, what our vision is for the state. And there's a sentiment there that it's broken. That communication is broken right now, and that is dysfunction. So, yeah, I believe and know from my past that I can work with people even when I strongly disagree on many issues. You can still work with them.
You have to.
Yes.
You know, and anyway, I've admired that in your personality.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's important. It's critical. And Degree programs I did in the last 6 years, an MBA, part of it was negotiations. And we had this young woman present. She was from Harvard Business School, and she was talking. She was an Iranian woman. And I asked the question about, you know, what if your opponent in a negotiation is, you know, a regime, a group that are untrustworthy? Is it even worthwhile sitting down at the table with them to try to negotiate something? And this was in light of that Iran nuclear deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked that question, and the whole cohort in the class was a little uncomfortable. I was asking this Iranian woman this question. And she thought, she said, you know what? She says, yes, because when you're negotiating on behalf of the population, the people, even though you think it's pointless, you still have a responsibility to do your best. Even if you think they're untrustworthy, like, you know, the regime in Iran has been, right? And our legislature is not nearly that
transfixed, yeah.
Now, Bill Armstrong does compare them to the narco-terrorists in Venezuela recently, which was kind of a funny quip he made. But, you know, you do have a responsibility to do your best, because the outcome of these negotiations, whether it be tax deals, projects in Alaska, what, you know, it has a consequence to the larger population of all of Alaska and the next generation. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing that she said. Her book is Bring Yourself. It's quite good, actually, about negotiating.
Hmm.
So,
yeah. Good for you. So what was the most impressive thing that you, well, or one of the most impressive things, rather, that you saw at the Alaska Miners Association convention over there at our civic center there?
Carlson Center. Many things. I think that just learning, even when we were at Mancho, you know, we were up on the edge of the pit there, and they showed us how they do the core samples or the drilling to ascertain where the pay dirt is, and then they put the explosives down, and then they, you know, detonate just to shake loose everything. But they know exactly where that pay is in a band in the ground, so that when they go in there with the loader, they can separate the waste from the pay dirt with precision. And I didn't really understand that process before, and we had some great people on the trip with us, explaining, and we could ask questions of them. And so that was fun to see the, you know, how that operates at the mine level. At the Carlson Center, the use of drones was probably the most interesting thing, how they're using drone technology for doing exploratory drilling. And it, at least in delivering equipment and things, rather than having to hike across canyons and things with equipment, they're now able to use drones and not helicopters. So it's a lot faster, it's a lot cheaper, and that's going to extend the life of a lot of these mines, because, you know, even Mancho, it has an operational life of about 3-4 years,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a fast one, but it's relying on more cores and more study at the margin of the area, and hopefully that'll go on for decades, like Fort Knox, Pogo, et cetera. So,
you know, it's going to be really interesting on the Ambler Road project, if that goes in. Right now, they've started the engineering, but they still, and the engineering is going to give them a time frame and cost, and then they'll see if there's a cost-benefit analysis to do this, and who will be the owners, you know, supplying the income to construct the road. And, right. But as you said, that Fort Knox has their capabilities of crushing and processing, and they can start bringing in from mines there gold-bearing material, trucking it to there, so that they've proven the point, this is viable.
Yes. Yeah, it was a test case, and it works.
And they won't be bringing it through Fairbanks, they'll be bringing it from the north of Fairbanks.
Yeah.
But they will still be employing, you know, they're the largest taxpayer in the Fairbanks North Star borough in real estate taxes. And so the longer they operate, the more better services we have because of them.
Yep. Yeah, they gave a beautiful presentation at lunch hour yesterday at the Carlson Center. And a gentleman I was sitting with, you know, asked a question, which was great. And he goes, you know, what would you tell legislators and gubernatorial candidates? I was the only one there.
You were the only gubernatorial candidate there. That's right.
Yeah. And he goes,
What are you going to say to Matt?
Yeah. What would you say would be the priority legislatively in things? Or what could the state do better to enhance mining in Alaska? And the guy basically said, power and permitting.
Yeah.
So reducing the complexity and time for permitting. So that's a huge one. And the other is deliver cheap and abundant energy. Because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that mining, and in particular the ore processing, is massively energy intensive. It requires a lot of energy. And so that was top of mind with this individual, with Pogo. And their statement was, you know, in other countries, they have less power generation plants, but they're much bigger. And they all coordinate energy delivery across the entire grid. And they called it amalgamating the energy delivery. You know, kind of meld them all together. And they said in Alaska, when you look at it, it's a bit of a nightmare because it was set up for individual communities that were really not to be connected originally.
Yeah.
You got these small energy generation plants, and they really don't connect very well. Now, I know that's what the intertie and some of these enhancements are about, and that needs to be pushed forward with the Alaska Energy Authority. But, you know, that was interesting how they said you need, with this AKLNG coming down, that's an opportunity to have fewer but much larger power generation plants. So, you know, that'll be, there's just so many options. It's almost mind-boggling when I speak with one person to the next of all the different ideas. But the bottom line is there's more opportunity for everybody when there's cheap, abundant energy.
So,
big deal.
You're the governor of the state of Alaska. You have a DNR. How are you going to, what's your idea to make permitting faster for mining projects?
Well, accountability is a huge deal. This is something I keep hearing over and over again where, you know, people, there's not a lot of crosstalk between the agencies, you know, BLM, DNR, and, you know, one agent can show up and say, here's how you do it, permitting and set up things. And then the miner does that. The next agent comes out and says, no, you did it wrong. So there needs to be better coordination. The opportunity right now is we have a federal government that is all about expediting permitting and these processes. The big thing is to empower the boards and commissions at the lower level to go through things and start deleting unnecessary permits, permitting processes, regulations. And I did that at the state medical board when we were given permission to do this with the physician assistants, and we got 14 pages of regulations down to 3 pages of regulations. So there is a great opportunity with the boards and commissions with an imperative from on high. Now, the governor did this AO360 to do just that. My only criticism is that it didn't really provide a tool, and there actually is a tool to reduce regulation and permitting processes, and it's called the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we got 14 pages to 3 pages. It was kind of incredible. So I think leadership just has to say, this is what you do, and no one will be blamed if something breaks. You just add back a regulation if it was found to be necessary later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matt, we're going to take a commercial break, sir. Fairbanks, okay. You're going to give you some bumper music. Janet Jackson, I did not choose this. They put me in a purple padded room, and they give me Janet Jackson. Oh, my God. But nice. You're going to have some Fox News, state news commercials and weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The United States and Iran gearing up for negotiations about this conflict in the Middle East that's under a temporary ceasefire. Vice President J.D. Vance, leaving Washington ahead of these talks in Pakistan, says,
"Look, we're looking forward to the negotiation. I think it's going to be positive. We'll, of course, see. As the President of the United States said, if the Iranians are willing to negotiate in good faith, we're certainly willing to extend the open hand."
President Trump demanding the Strait of Hormuz reopen. Iran says it will retain control of the strait. They're also demanding recognition of their right to enrich uranium. White House National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett on Fox Business says once the Strait of Hormuz reopens, energy prices will stabilize and inflation will go down.
Once the energy prices start to come down, don't forget that'll put downward pressure on inflation. And with starting with core at 0.2, I think that the outlook for the Fed having the room to cut rates is going to be very solid.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports Anchorage Water and Wastewater Utility is repairing a broken sanitary sewer main at the Fish Creek Estuary along the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail. The utility has diverted the flow of the sewer already and is using the Alaska Railroad Access Road adjacent to the estuary to excavate and repair the broken 30-inch sewer pipe. Construction is expected to continue until April 24th. Heavy equipment will operate in the area and temporary work lighting may be used. AWWU said the work will not impact local neighborhoods or water service to homes in the area, and that they will monitor public health and environmental impacts throughout the process. And finally, smoke jumpers are practicing their parachute landings around Fairbanks and North Pole in advance of Alaska's 2026 wildfire season. These smoke jumpers will spend the summer parachuting into wildfire situations across an area of responsibility larger than the state of Texas, in addition to wildfire emergencies elsewhere in the state of Alaska and, if needed, in the lower 48.
Online at KFAR660.com.
It's that time of year. Time for a good spring cleaning. No, we're not talking about your house. We're talking about your mouth. Get over to Affordable Dental Care off 14th Avenue. Schedule a good cleaning this spring for your mouth. They work with your insurance, offer full dental services for the entire family, and they back it up with those affordable prices. So before you start dusting ceiling fans and cleaning rugs, call Affordable Dental Care and start your spring cleaning today. In your mouth. That's Affordable Dental Care off 14th Avenue. Online at adcak.com.
Finally, the days are getting longer and getting warmer, so make sure to get those tires changed out soon. Make an appointment now at Pearson Auto to get her done. While you're at it, have them get your rig ready for those spring road trips. And don't forget, they're always on sale. Synthetic oil changes, that'll save you some much-needed gas money. All at Pearson Auto off the Ridge Highway towards North Pole and across from Pikes on Airport Way. Online at PearsonAutoAK.com. That's Pearson Auto, your dealership alternative.
Slip into the brand new Bridgestone Dueler ATSN all-terrain tire from GCR. Elevate your year-round driving experience. Bridgestone Dueler ATSN delivers uncompromising traction through snow, ice, water, and gravel. Whatever Alaska's roads throw your way, the Bridgestone Dueler ATSN is designed to dominate off-road performance on your light truck, SUV, and CUV while offering a remarkably quiet ride for your everyday driving. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I'm Matt Halala, running for governor, on the line with me. Now, Matt, you know, it's interesting with the DNR and DEC and EPA. Now, you have a lot of wetlands in Alaska, and I believe that the Interior Department, through the Army Corps of Engineers, has designated basically Alaska a wetlands, not wetlands free, but a wetlands permit, DA 404 permit free state, just about. Yet, I have a client, and I'm representing him in a real estate transaction on vacant land. And the first thing that, you know, I'm looking at is, this looks like it's wetlands. And the Army Corps says, yeah, you got to get a wetlands permit from us. I mean, the first thing, and it's an in-town lot. And so I'm saying to myself, what good is this?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not worried about getting a, it's less than 22,000 square feet of touched area in wetlands. So it's a 30-day permit or less, and I'm not worried about it. But we're still not getting what we're promised from EPA, DEC, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Yeah, and you know that thing that happened in this last, I think it's the last year or 18 months, I think it was the last year, was where the Supreme Court shot down Chevron deference, where agency heads at their discretion get to interpret statute, and in particular regarding a lot of this environmental, EPA, all these things. They said if it's not clearly in statute, if it's ambiguous, it is not to be left to the discretion of these agency heads and things. And it doesn't seem like that new ethos is really being implemented. And the wetlands thing is the nuttiest thing for Alaska, because obviously Alaska is what? I don't know what the statistic is. 50% or 60% wetland?
Yeah, you know, wherever there's permafrost, where there's an ice lens, where there's water, you know, wherever it snows.
Yeah, and the idea was, I've not studied it extensively, was that to protect migratory patterns for birds, right?
Yeah.
And if your mud puddle or your marshy backyard, you want to put a, you know, a structure on there, you know, it's, I think the birds are easily going to find another area to land. You know, it's just, it's so absurd. And it's things like that that need to be questioned, and someone needs to be empowered to delete some of these things. I think at this point, the whole idea of the wetland in Alaska, that should just not even apply to Alaska, in my opinion, my very strong opinion. We should be exempted from that.
So how do you go about exempting Alaska from that? Would be my next question.
It's a federal problem, isn't it? So
yes.
I think we just need to speak to it and get this whole theme of if we can't come up with a real strong rationale for the existence of things like these, they need to be deleted. The default is to delete. And you can always add things back if something doesn't work. But, you know, we've been rewarding legislators federally and in the state by how many bills have you passed? How many things have you added to the bureaucracy? And now it needs to be, what have you deleted? You know, Elon Musk, when he sits down at SpaceX with his engineers and his companies, he doesn't ask them, what have you created today? He asks, what have you deleted today?
Yeah.
That is actually the most important thing when you get this massive overburden of bureaucracy like we have now. And that's not even a debate. Everybody, both sides of the aisle, agree with that. It is a bit puzzling when some of these candidates are talking about adding departments, and I want to split this department into three departments. It's like, guys, that is the wrong theme of things. We need to make the most out of what we have and delete things. That's how we actually get things done. So, but yeah, that drives me nuts, the wetland thing. It just doesn't make any sense in Alaska.
Not for Alaska, that's for sure.
No.
You know, it looks like we might have a possibility of a natural gas line through the state of Alaska.
Yep. Yeah.
And what I look at is, okay, this is a great opportunity for revenue to the state of Alaska. Yes, I understand that. But at the same time, it's a great opportunity for distribution for in-state use. And probably the largest cost driver to a residential or commercial or user would be the real estate taxes paid on that line.
Right.
So you have Kathy Geisel trying to run up all the taxes on the real estate, you know, get a pilt in there, whatever.
Right.
But
right.
Look at it economically. What is best for the Alaskan user? What would be the cheapest way to deliver gas to them and take the commercials separately?
So obviously, if you can, a pipeline is great. Pipelines are expensive. But over time, it's going to be the most efficient, reliable delivery method of gas.
Yes.
And so in each area, you know, it's these spur lines are a challenge, right, because they're very expensive. But every one of these deals needs to be negotiated as its own unique deal with parties that have different interests, different things they can compromise on. And that property tax thing is a real challenge. Glenn Farn and the group is saying that this is a straw that might break the camel's back. And clearly they're communicating that that is important to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to listen and look at what's the standard out there, at least in our nation, of how things are done, and get creative and pound out a deal that works for both sides. And I think that's what the governor did, was when he threw out that $2 million, you know, a 10x reduction in the property tax. I think that was just an opening salvo of, we need to get this down, understanding there's going to be a counter to that. But, you know, we do need this gas line. It's so national strategic interest.
Yeah,
I think with this Iran war, it's even heightened our awareness of how fragile our energy supply chain is. And, you know, luckily we do have our own source of oil and gas here in the United States. Our allies really don't. I mean, they're quite desperate.
You know,
this is a part of the answer for them.
Yeah, it just, I just do not see Senator Kathy Geisel having the presence of mind to be able to put together a tax policy of any way, shape, or form,
right,
that can continue the development of a gas pipeline in Alaska. It's a shockingly,
right,
to me, that she's more of, since this governor put it together, we cannot allow this to give him the win.
Right. That's a sad situation. And, you know, I remain pragmatically optimistic.
So do I. So do I.
And I think that, you know, I used to know Kathy when she was a nurse practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the old days, we'd refer back and forth and things. And I know her a lot less as a legislator. And I know she's got quite a bit of power down there in Juneau. I think a lot of it is, it's sitting down in person, listening, and then some of it is educating, as some people feel like that's demeaning to say that a legislator needs to be educated, but they don't have business degrees.
No, they don't.
They don't have economics degrees. They don't understand the term like opportunity cost. These companies don't have to do business in our sandbox.
Exactly.
They have a responsibility to decide where to deploy their limited capital, their limited workforce, whether it be in Ghana, whether it be in, you know, the Gulf Coast, or, you know, they've got to make a choice. And the governor is right to this respect, that a little bit of something is more than a lot of nothing, right? If it doesn't happen at all, well, nothing, you know, there's nothing. Even a small property tax rate is fine. And I know they're negotiating and considering a PILT versus a flow rate assessment of sorts. But that's the thing. You got to just pound out a deal. Every deal is different. And I think we just have to keep flashing a picture of our young Alaskan that has less and less opportunity because of our fighting.
True.
Guys, let's keep thinking about that 20-year-old that is deciding where they have the best shot at buying a home, having and raising a family. And if we don't start saying yes and coming together, it's not going to be Alaska. And that's a failure.
You know,
we have to figure this out.
And you have a mentality down there in the legislature. You know, Kathy Geisel, she actually stated that she doesn't want a gas line because, you know, the vice world will run rampant.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We with the social media world, and now that we can stream news from any source on the time that's convenient for us, we're now in our own little silos of information. And the only way to bridge that gap is to do it with goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
And not leading with fists, but with a warm handshake and a smile. And it doesn't mean you don't have passion against things that are just, you know, bad. But you just have to approach people differently. And we have that higher responsibility. And, you know, it's like the fighting is like sitting on the lid of a treasure chest, you know, yanking on the handle, wondering why we can't get to the bounty that is Alaska, right? Our natural resources. And it's all that fighting. It's like, hey, guys, let's get off that lid, you know, and together open it. And that has to be a call to action to the legislature, the next governor, of which, of course, I hope it's me. It's very interesting. It's not even the math. It's not the details. It's the aligning with a common goal and a responsibility to the next generation.
Matt, we're going to take our final break, and we'll be back after these messages. Fairbanks, you can call in at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Looking for the perfect girls' day filled with shopping, health, beauty, great information, and tasty treats? Then don't miss A Woman's Affair at the Carlson Center next weekend, sponsored by Borealis Med Spa. Gather your friends and mark your calendars. Kick it off with the Friday night sip and shop, or shop the day away Saturday and Sunday. Don't miss all the fun. Find more details at fairbanksevents.com. That's fairbanksevents.com. A Woman's Affair next weekend at the Carlson Center. Co-sponsored by Last Frontier Media Active, Lotto Alaska, and the Alaska Salmon Bake.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Cyberlich, here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
It has occurred to me that I am an introvert. I live a sheltered life as an old septic tank, gazing at the stars, pondering my poetry, appreciating the weather, rain or snow. I know my family has Bigfoot Pumpkin and Thorn faithfully pump me out once a year. I count on that flow in my life, and I will continue to serve them much better for many years to come.
KFAR Weather.
Mixed precipitation likely changing to all rain today. Otherwise, overcast. Highs level off around 41. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance for rain mixing with and changing to snow tonight. Lows level off around 26. About an inch of snow tonight through Sunday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Matt Halala on the phone with me. And Fairbanks, we just got a weather report saying we're going to get more snow. And
I will 46 degrees the whole week.
I know. I will find that weather person and I will not commit a felony, but I will give him a very stern talking to. How's that?
hold this person to account.
Yes, yes. Anyway,
yeah.
You know, I guess another way to look at holding an accountability is our state fisheries. And you just look and you say to yourself, okay, some are doing good, some have this crashed. And the how and the why and the what. Now, you know, you were both a commercial and you enjoy sport fishery and you live on the Kenai Peninsula. And when was the last time they had an open king salmon season there?
It's been a while. I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been a really disconcerting thing to see that the kings are just not thriving like they used to when I was a little kid. Of course, that was 40 years ago. It's been happening now for, I think the king runs have been going down for at least 20 or 30 years. It's not been all this just this sudden thing where they're gone. But and, you know, as you dive into the science and trying to get an understanding, it's what we call it's multifactorial. You can't point to one thing. And we don't really know where these salmon go exactly out on the high seas when they leave the river systems when they're smolt. We know things are changing in the ocean. And, you know, water temperatures are more of a thing than I realized. I was talking to a young skipper of a 135-foot trawl boat in Unalaska last week, and he said it's critical for them when they're fishing for pollock to find the normal cool waters that are like 32 to 36 degrees. That's where the krill are, the plankton, the food source that then makes this little tiny fish that the pollock eat, etc. And he said they're bumping into areas now that are as warm as like 46 to 48 degrees. And he said it's very strange, and it might be that El Niño or Niño thing. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And he said literally there's no fish, and they've got to go and find cooler waters. That's where they're going to find the fish because they chase the krill and the plankton and all the little stuff. So, you know, that there's that. There are, you know, the unknown activities of the Russian, Japanese, Chinese, the Thai high seas fishery. They've got as a kid, we were always told of the 20-mile gill nets. So
yeah,
they might be overfishing. But, you know, the suspicion in my mind, and I'm speaking with a lot of these biologists, is that in the Russian Far East, they release 40 billion salmon smolt from their hatcheries every year. We release less than 2 billion. So they're releasing 20 times the competing fish stock from their hatcheries, and they all go out to the same grazing areas. And our big giant king salmon, they're slow and docile, and they require more food to grow.
And they're not getting it. Yeah.
And they can't compete with these little fast fish all, you know. So among all of the things, it might be overfishing from the international fleet way out there.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do about that? Narco boat them? I don't think we can torpedo them. It's just not going to work, right? So, and how do you work with these people? Are you really going to sit down with the Russian fleet and talk about how to reduce harvest, if that even is an issue? So I think we need to compete, strongly compete in the interim with our, you know, reduced run fish, like, you know, chum in the western coastal areas and Chinook with hatcheries. Why aren't we sending out more fish to compete? I mean, that's the only logical thing we can do.
And why are you sending out pink salmon?
Yeah. Now, Southeast, that's a big deal. But yeah, that's a question. I don't know. I mean, pinks are a huge... Now, when I was a kid, pinks, when you're getting pinks, you stop fishing because they were like 2 cents a pound.
Yes.
It was not even worth...
Yeah.
We call them slimers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd squirt through the net and, you know, it was... but there's a fishery. If you're a saner, you catch millions of pounds of pinks, and it's needed out there in the world. It's a good source of protein. But, you know, it's a big controversial thing, and, you know, I know a lot of the other candidates are running around, you know, telling less than truthful comments about the trawling industry and all these things. Yes, there's bycatch, and yes, it's being reduced right now, which is really great through technology. And I could talk for hours about this. But, you know, there are 65 or 67 communities that rely on a healthy trawl fishery. You know, that's 80% of Alaska's commercial fishery is trawl. 80%. That's 4 billion pounds of seafood. And 3 billion pounds, 60% is pollock. And I was down there at the Unice plant. And, you know, you could sit there for hours and you're not going to find any bycatch. It's just, it's a 99.5% clean fishery, which is the best in the world. And it cross-subsidizes all of the other fisheries, salmon, crabbing, the processing. If we curtail or reduce the trawl fishery in our state, it kills the other fisheries. And it was explained to me. And it makes perfect sense to me. It's the shipping costs and the backhaul of shipping. So anyway, I'm standing up for Alaska families and the next generation to have jobs. And the answer is to not run with the mob saying we got to kill the trawlers when you don't have all the information and it harms opportunity for the next generation. So I don't see how you can say we need to start saying yes to projects and job opportunities when at the same time you want to kill one that's working. So I'm very conservation minded, being raised on the Kenai River. But I want to conserve opportunity for young people in Alaska also.
There you go. Critical. Hmm. What else? We got about 4 minutes left. What else is on your mind, sir? We'll let you, versus me giving you questions, go for a direction here.
Well, you know what? I had an interview with Iris Samuels of the Anchorage Daily News, and I know that she's, most people perceive ADN, and I do too. It's left of center, obviously.
Quite left of center.
About a lot of things, right? Like the, where I, drafted the regulation to stop the transgendering of children on the state medical board and got that passed unanimously. She had a lot of questions for me. She was very respectful because I think even people on the left agree with that issue quietly, like, you know what, that shouldn't happen to kids. They shouldn't be deciding these things, even if they're parents, because it's harmful, it's irreversible. And what came up was this campaign, and there's a bunch of, 14, 16 Republicans running, and at least 3 or 4 Democrats. And
it's a moving average every day.
Yeah. And the apparatus, I'm an outsider. I'm not an entrenched bureaucrat or politician. Now I've been in policymaking boards and bodies, of course. But I'm primarily come from, just a deep roots Alaskan, the fisheries and then medicine surgery. And then, employing people through other business ventures and, property development, et cetera.
Matt,
I'm a business guy.
Yeah. This is what I like about you. Since you're 10 years old, throughout your life, whatever you've been involved in, you've been wonderfully successful. And you've also made people associated with you wonderfully successful. Simple as that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is as simple as that. And, the way these campaigns go is the party apparatus, they want an easy button to know who to send money to.
Yeah.
And early on in a campaign, a lot of that favors the known apparatus candidates. Even though they're not the right one to be governor, they're like, but who can win? They just want that answer right now. And I'm not an easy button. People.
You're a good button.
At events.
Yeah, you're a good button.
Like, you know what? We need someone just like you as governor. We think you'd be great. And then they go back to the app. Well, who can win? Who can win?
well, you're doing really good in all the polls.
Yeah. And they're like, the answer is you make someone win by choosing them and publicly supporting them.
Yeah.
Stepping forward. It's called social proof. That's what yard signs are about. So anyway, we're about to do this sprint to the primary. In August, we're just getting this all together. We're hoping to have a lieutenant governor candidate very soon. We've been vetting a few different people that have stepped forward, so we're quite optimistic. And our mission is to communicate how I'm different, and I'm meeting that call that Alaskans have been requesting. Is we need something different, somebody that has deep experience in business. Getting things done, not promises, but performance, and can work with other people.
There you go.
That's my value offering.
Well, Matt, I really appreciate you taking the time of being up in Fairbanks for the Mining Association meeting, and also calling back to be on my radio show. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, David. You're tremendous, very engaging, and I consider you a friend at this point.
Yes, you are. Yes, we are.
Since last summer, but this is tremendous.
Okay, buddy, you have a great weekend. We got to go. And enjoy yourself and say hello to your wonderful wife for me, please.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, bye. Fairbanks, you have a great day, and I will see you on Monday.